ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
One is that we're American, we don't take shit, and I think that's something that he really put in. And, you know, he's, even though he's Argentinian, he has that mindset of like, look, this is what we do, you know, and this is who we are.
United States midfielder Sebastian Berhalter explaining Stars and Stripes mentality under manager Mauricio Pochettino. The US might not take shit, but gee, their media has been talking a bit of it. Alexi Lalas, Mark Schwartz's mate Mike Gorella, US greats Landon Donovan. They've led the way in lighting the fuse for the Australia-USA clash. And look, it's honestly been good gear from a content point of view. And as Australians, clearly, we've probably reveled in the disrespect. But outside the rage bait, be honest, how much do we know about the United States team? The players who spoke today were actually quite polite. And as a group, they have some serious talents. What you might be surprised to learn is they've also clashed with some of the ex-players who have had pointed words for the Aussies. There's layers to today's episode. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Jillian Sakovits is a host for Major League Soccer on Apple TV. You'll see her work on The Athletic as well. Great to have her on the line to talk about the United States at the World Cup. Jillian, hello.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for having me. I've been doing so much, but I have to say this is my first hit with the good people from Australia, and I'm really looking forward to it.
What a time to do it. Days out from a clash between Australia and the United States. The anticipation in Australia is feverish. What's the sense in the United States among soccer fans?
Okay, so you want before, you want after the U.S. men's national team game, because that's kind of like the BC and the AC of it all here, because truly in the days leading up to it, I would be talking to friends, talking to family, even in Ubers, and people'd say, oh, like I had somebody ask me, oh, is there a friendly going on? And you're like, no, the World Cup is here. And I think that the stunning result that the U.S. men's national team was able to have over Paraguay in the first game of the group stage really changed all of that. It was a win on the field, but it was also a win in the way that it got people talking about the U.S. men's national team. People who have never talked to me about soccer talked to me about soccer the next day, and they wanted to know what's next. They wanted to know, oh, can the U.S. now win the World Cup?
USA! USA! US!
You know, things like that. So there was a lot of wins to come from all that.
In fan circles in Australia, very similar experience. Anticipation before the opening round clash, a victory has just supercharged things. And I think the fire, like the fuel has been thrown onto it by some American pundits like Mike Gorella, Alexi Lalas, Landon Donovan to a lesser extent.
The United States will play Australia in Seattle, boys. Gorella, how's that?
Layup for the US.
Their view seems to be Australia has no shot in this game or in this tournament. Can you give us an idea, American football fandom, is that a widely held view or is that an element of American media?
So for the casual fan, the general consensus was the way that this group would work would be the US-Turkey toss up between 1 and 2, Paraguay 3. And I hate to break it to you, Patrick, but Australia was the fourth. And I think it speaks to our soccer culture a little bit. Outside of the Gorellas, the Lalases, the Donovans, who, you know, are paid, of course, to have a take, and they are great friends of mine. But I don't think I, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, I don't think anybody was talking about Australia. But that is a different story this week in June of 2026.
I'm really interested to learn more about the United States as well, because as ignorant as maybe some parts of America are about Australian football, I think it's pretty similar here in many regards. Everyone in Australia who follows the beautiful game would know Christian Pulisic, you know, America's finest player, a talent, such a talent for the United States and AC Milan. Can you just explain how central he is and how talented he is for the Stars and Stripes?
Yeah, he's really one of the few names that if someone is not following the U.S. might know about Christian Pulisic. Because while he's not like the captain on the starting 11 roster, that is old man defender Tim Ream, he is known as Captain America. People recognize him. He was on Time magazine. So people know Christian Pulisic. And now people are starting to know names like Fuller and Balogun, Weston McKennie, Chris Richards. And that I really didn't have on my bingo card.
Has he always had universal love from US supporters and former players? Like, I note that he skipped the CONCACAF Gold Cup last year.
Right, for rest.
Yeah. Yes. And a lot of criticism followed from people like Landon Donovan, an absolute great mm-hmm. of American football.
I am never critiquing him taking a break. He's played a lot of soccer in the last few years. My critique is who he chose to take the break from.
Like, has it been a precarious relationship between Christian, ex-players, current managements, fans?
You know what I find interesting? It's that Christian Pulisic just is who he is. At times, maybe this generation, people have called them entitled, things like that, because it's a generation that's, quote, been given everything, especially get like these 1994 players who put soccer on the map in this country. The word is there was a study when that 94 World Cup was played that it was the 67th most favorite sport here in the U.S., apparently behind 66th tractor pulling. I don't know what the other like 60 sports were, but just in some type of funny way that speaks to what it was. So the 94ers, you know, they look at this generation and they see the money, the training facilities, the infrastructure, the exposure that they have. I wouldn't say Christian Pulisic has always been beloved. I think there are diehard fans and fans who really are appreciative of him. But I was very happy to see Mauricio Pochettino not give Christian Pulisic the armband, because I think that just lets him do what he wants to do, which is go play, go score some goals, and he doesn't like the questions. You know, like when he gets asked after a goal scoring drought, hey, how'd it feel to get the goal? He'll say something like,
I mean, it's just great to score again. Hopefully people can stop talking about it. And I feel great.
Yeah, you could say, okay, we want a more dynamic personality. We want a little bit more of a showman, but that's just not who he is. And I like this role for him.
You speak about the goal scoring droughts. He's had one. I think AC Milan, he didn't score. The last time he scored was in December. Got a goal in one game recently for the United States.
One push forward down the right side for Pepe to chase. Pulisic is in the middle. Pepe rolls it in. It's Christian Pulisic round the keeper. It's Pulisic with a goal. What a start for Christian Pulisic.
We now know that he was subbed off at halftime against Paraguay. Is there a bit of an injury concern? Is there a bit of a form concern?
He was subbed off at halftime. He very much kind of foo-fooed it, like no big deal.
I just got a bit of a kick in the first half, so I'm really hoping that it's nothing. Taking a little bit of precaution today, but I'm hoping I'll be fine with the experience.
But said, there's no way I'm going to be at 100% for the Australia game, but I'll be there. And he kind of says it in not the most likable way, for lack of a better word. And he just kind of says it because I think that's the fact. And I think any professional athlete would tell you that they're rarely at 100%. So I think that's sometimes where when you want a superstar, you want to be like, no big deal, I'm good, I'll be there. And perhaps he's just being honest.
Tell us about the impact, the imprints of manager Mauricio Pochettino.
Mm. This has been a wild roller coaster, Patrick, because when he was hired, we all were like, oh, I think there was a gratefulness amongst U.S. fans in that, how did we get Mauricio Pochettino? And everybody had rode the ride of what was the U.S. Federation, like having Greg Berhalter, then suspending him when the whole Gio Reyna and Berhalter family drama happened in Qatar, which was just pickups, travel, soccer, kids league on steroids, everything that is wrong with American youth soccer, but now on the national team level. And then it's decided that Greg Berhalter will not continue to lead the team. And I have massive respect for Greg Berhalter. I really like him. I don't like what transpired with him, but knowing that his time had ended, Mauricio Pochettino felt massive. And then it was a string of good results and then mixed results. And I think the window prior to this one back in March was a borderline disaster. Things did not go well.
The whistle goes here in Atlanta, and it is a heavy defeat for the United States here against Belgium.
They did not defend well. They did not play well. There was no identity. And then these string of friendlies ahead of this, people felt really good about what they were seeing from Mauricio Pochettino. But then what everybody saw against Paraguay, we all now believe in. And I think you saw that the players trust Mauricio Pochettino, which you need with a World Cup squad, because these are players that are all coming together that don't play with each other regularly. That starting 11 at SoFi Stadium had never been on the field in a competitive match together before.
So this is a nation, you know, that now has a star player, has players playing in a high level around the world, a brilliant manager, and is used to contending or winning most things, the United States. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the expectation for this tournament?
So coming in, I think that if the U.S. played well and played to what is their unproven potential, because while this is a talented roster, it's an unproven group. The idea was, okay, if they get to a quarterfinal, which now in this expanded format means winning two knockout round games in the round of 32, the round of 16, go ahead and make it to a quarterfinal. I think people felt really good. Now, if they could play the way they played against Paraguay, I think that they could make it to a semifinal.
Let's steer back towards this clash with Australia.
Yes, let's.
The last time they played, it was feisty.
I think the referee's blown the halftime whistle here. So it finishes with things getting a little bit feisty.
The Americans dominated possession. The Australian mm-hmm. side has made it clear since they're cool with that. We saw it against Turkey. Yeah. Like, they were happy not to have the ball. Are they expecting a level of physicality for this clash, do you think?
I think that what is going to be so interesting for this game is, as we all know now, as the teams start to go into the second game of the group stage, is some scouting has occurred. Yes, we all could have said we saw this team play in this friendly. We played them 6 months ago. None of that really matters once you get into the World Cup. But now that we've seen this team, I think it is going to be the ultimate test, right? Because there's three games in the group stage. If you're one of the two lucky teams, there are eight games for you in this tournament. So yes, the U.S. did this. They captured the country.
USA all the way.
Amazing. I love being American.
But now, how do you retain people's attention? How do you prove that you're worthy of this attention that you have gotten? And that means humbling yourself. So going and playing, you're not going to play the kind of game. We're not probably going to see beautiful passing sequences and four goals that we saw against Paraguay. So go out and humble yourself. Play what you saw Australia bring, or what you think Australia is going to bring. And I think that is a test for these players to not ride too high of a wave, to kind of find the middle ground of the momentum. Australia is going to be riding like the equal amount of momentum with their upset over Turkey.
And there it is. It's a famous Socceroos victory.
Incredible, incredible scenes.
And it's going to be a big coaching test, I think, for Mauricio Pochettino and his squad, because we all know, like, we saw beautiful, fun soccer. And I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but now it's going to be about adjustments.
I'm so interested to understand as well just how feverish, just how hostile the crowd in Seattle might be. Like, what should Australian players, fans expect? Okay. I assume it's going to be about 97-95% American.
So I'm excited for this because in Australia, Turkey's game, that game was played in Canada. So we're getting our first visits from the Australians in this match at Lumen Field in Seattle, Washington. It holds about 73,000 people. I was there when Seattle upset Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. The Seattle Sounders are the team from MLS that use that stadium.
Oh, right to Lothrock.
And for anyone in Australia that follows the NFL, for example, this is the home of the Seattle Seahawks. They are famous for what they call the 12th man. If you drive around Seattle, there are Seahawks flags everywhere with the number 12 on them, because it is believed that the thunderous sound that stadium seems to hold, despite being an outdoor stadium, it just reverberates, and it's thunderous and it's intimidating and it is so loud. For whatever reason, the way it traps sound is not specific to the Seahawks and the NFL. It happens no matter what big game is in that stadium. So I'm really looking forward to the atmosphere for the Aussies that get to go. They'll absolutely enjoy it. And the American, I should say, atmosphere that was brought at SoFi Stadium even raised some eyebrows, because the U.S. gets a lot of visitors. The U.S. is a diverse country. People weren't sure how much of a, quote, home game. Yeah, we thought it'd feel like a home game, but like how home? How much of a home field advantage? So people overall were really happy with the kind of USA red, white, and blue feels that SoFi gave. And I think you can expect something even more exciting in Seattle because it's got all the elements, right? It's going to be outside. It's going to be great.
I feel like every major sport event, World Cups, Olympics, what have you, before the event, there's always an existential crisis or sometimes multiple ones, you know, something that gives organizers, fans headaches. And like for this tournament, I feel like there's a political element wrapped into it. There's obviously the ticket prices. There was the water bottle fiasco. How are Americans feeling about the tournament overall and embracing it or not from what you're sort of hearing, what you're seeing?
So from somebody who was dialed in for the people that were following it, maybe trying to log on and buy tickets, I'd say the last 12 to 18 months felt frustrating for a lot of people. Here's this moment where we all talk about the 1994 World Cup, and you'll run into people around here. I'm from the Northeast, and you'll run into people who are casual soccer fans, and they all point back to that their mom or dad took them to a game at Foxborough, and they got to see some soccer in 1994. Not necessarily seeing the US, but they got to watch soccer. And it really, people started to feel robbed. I don't know any families, to be frank, outside of people that are well-connected within the industry that are bringing their children to this game. And that is kind of the hope that everyone's riding on in the United States, because it's not the NFL, it is not the NBA, and then NHL and MLB are thought to be ahead of soccer. I want to say it was a little anticlimactic. And now that it has started and people can focus on the beautiful stories, you know, seeing the Haitian community come out against Scotland in Foxborough and seeing that, it is kind of wiping away that cynicism that should rightfully be there, but giving somebody all just a reason to be happy because we're reminded of these good moments. And that has really flourished since the tournament took over. And I think at this time in the United States, with everybody so divided, we've kind of needed this.
Jillian, you've been the American voice of reason that maybe this Socceroos United States game needed. Thank you so much for your time.
That. Don't come after me, Socceroos. Don't come after me.
Headlines, and it was a day for the biggest stars in world football. Big Wednesday. They do not come any bigger than Lionel Messi. So many of us wondered how meaningful his contribution would be after the romance of the 2022 title in Qatar. I assumed he might not even be back to this tournament 4 years ago when he won the thing. Well, this is how the Argentina campaign started for the now 38-year-old.
Back to Messi. Messi!
A hat-trick against Algeria first up, 3-0 victors. Only Italy and Brazil have gone back-to-back. Can Argentina? Maybe. And Messi has a habit of putting everyone else in the shade. But I need to talk about Erling Haaland in Norway, who beat Graham Arnold's Iraq 4-1. That sounds like a thumping, and I guess it kind of was, but Iraq did have a heap of chances in the first half. It could have easily been a different story. Perhaps the moment was an Iraqi back pass that fell just short of the keeper, and Haaland pounced, grabbed his second goal to give the Scandies the lead, and they never relinquished it.
Oh, that's a little short! It's far too short, especially when Haaland is lurking! And he won't get an easier World Cup goal, Erling Haaland, than that one.
Maybe the highlight off the pitch, no, definitely the highlight off the pitch, was the Norwegian fans, resplendent in their red shirts, rowing a metaphorical Viking boat in the stands.
There they are, mimicking their seafaring Viking ancestors, the Norwegian fans, and with the imagery that is designed to say, keep going.
How long before Canberra Raiders fans appropriate slash steal that gimmick as they did the Viking clap? Don't at me, Green Machine, you know you stole the Icelandic clap. Okay, so we hit Haaland's World Cup debut, we hit Messi's greatness. One bloke who knows his way around a major tournament as well as Kylian Mbappe. And he also had two goals to start the tournament as competition favourites France trounced Senegal 3-1. With all those big names in action, it was easy to forget about Austria, who saw off Jordan to start their campaign with a win. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS, CBS, The Cooligans Podcast, TNT, BBC and Apple TV for the extra audio used in this episode.